The reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 2, and that's page 1003 in the Church Bibles. So from verse 13 at the bottom of the page. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Well, please do keep that open as we look at it now, but let's pray once more. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and as we come to it now, we pray that we would hear you speak. Help us to understand these words. Please help us to receive them, and Lord, please change us through them, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start this morning by asking you a question. What is your opinion of this man? Should appear. Okay, don't shout out loud. But he's a man who's divided our nation, Nigel Farage. Now, for some people, he's a hero who, after tirelessly campaigning for independence in our nation and fighting so hard for so long against the EU, he's finally helped to bring about Brexit. And perhaps that's you. But for others, he's also seen as a villain, someone who's damaged our relationship with Europe, who makes the world think that we're racist, and after convincing us to leave, resigns and leaves us to face the consequences. See, Nigel Farage is a bit like Marmite. You either love him or you hate him, but you can't not have an opinion. And if you read any of the accounts of Jesus' life, like Mark's gospel that was just being read, very quickly you see that Jesus too is a man who divided opinion. So although in every other way he's a man totally unlike Nigel Farage, in this one way he's similar. He polarised public opinion. There were those that loved him, there were those that hated him. But everyone had an opinion. And in our passage this morning, we see exactly this happening. And as we step inside, we too, whether we like it or not, will be forced to decide whether the Jesus that we meet is good news or whether he's bad news. Because if we've truly understood what he does and what he says, it's impossible not to have an opinion. So as we look at these verses, there are two things I want to say this morning. And the first is this. Jesus is good news to those who know they're bad. He's good news to those who know they're bad. Well, Mark begins by setting the scene for us in verse 13. Jesus is in Galilee, where most of his work so far has been focused. And in verse 13, he goes out beside the lake, and a huge crowd comes to gather around him. And although Jesus has only just begun his ministry, already he's become hugely popular. People are amazed at what they've seen him do and what they've heard him teach. And so when Jesus goes out, a crowd goes out too to see what he's going to do next. And when the crowd comes out to meet him, in verse 13, Jesus begins to teach them as he walks beside the lake. And as he goes along, despite the bustle of the crowd and the clamour of the people giving him attention, there's one man who catches his attention. One man who gets the focus of his eye. And this man hadn't even come to listen. Look at verse 14. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. He saw Levi, the tax collector. Now, there are loads of things that Nottingham's proud to be the home of. I could list them all, but here's a few. Boots the Chemists, Rally Bicycles, Nottingham Forest, maybe in the past, and Robin Hood when he's at home. But there's one thing that we're not so proud of, and that's to be the home of Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. the weird offices along the canal in Nottingham. Now, when we think of the people that work in the tax office, our modern-day tax collectors, I don't expect you clench your fists and prickle with anger at them. I'm sure we prefer it if we didn't have to pay our taxes, but we've not really got anything against the people that work in the tax office. They're just doing their job. But if you lived in first century Palestine, you would have hated tax collectors. And you would have done so for good reason. First, because they were traitors. As the Romans occupied the land and demanded taxes from the Jews, men like Levi, rather than staying loyal to their own people, went over to work for them, making a living out of working for the enemy. But they were also cheats too, not just traitors, because tax collectors weren't paid to do their job. And so in order to make a living, they needed to charge a commission, to which the Romans turned a blind eye. And so they imposed huge and unfair taxes on the people in order to line their own pockets. And so unsurprisingly, the people hated them. Tax collectors were pushed out of Jewish life. They were thrown out of the synagogues. They brought shame on their families, and the people despised them. They were the worst of the worst. If anyone was bad, it was tax collectors. And so as Jesus passes Levi's tax booth, this is the kind of man that he sees there. He's not a man who's looking for a career change. A man settled in his sinful way of life. A man too busy cheating others to come and listen to Jesus teach. And as Levi catches Jesus' attention, I wonder what words you think Jesus would have for him. Perhaps you'd expect Jesus to condemn him, to rebuke him for his bad life, and to tell him to sort it out. Or perhaps with the crowd around, for Jesus to use him as an example, to point the finger and say, whatever you do, don't be like him. Well, Jesus could have said this. He could have brought bad news to Levi, but he didn't. Instead, he has good news for this bad man. Verse 14 again. Follow me, Jesus said. Get up, Levi. Leave your tax booth. Follow me, because I want you to be my disciple. I can imagine the other disciples watching on and saying to themselves, Jesus, do you know what you're doing? Don't you know who this is? This is Levi. He's the guy that steals our money. Why do you want him to follow you? But Jesus says, no, I know what I'm doing. This is the man I want on my team. Levi is exactly who I want to be my disciple. And you see, as Jesus calls Levi to follow him, there are no conditions. There's no requirements for him to meet first. He doesn't say, first sort yourself out, clean up your act, and then we'll see. He simply says, follow me. Here and now, as you are, sat behind your tax booth, get up and follow me. And verse 14, Levi got up and followed him. The man who was so settled in his way of life is unsettled by Jesus. And at once he rose and left it all behind. The job, the money, the old way of life, gone to follow Jesus. Because he found something better. He found someone better. Jesus, a man who saw him in his sin and instead of treating him as he deserved, loved him as he was and showed him grace, calling him to be his follower. You see, to Levi, a man who was bad and a man who knew he was bad, Jesus was good news. And friends, this is just as true this morning. Jesus is good news to any who know they're bad. That's what Naomi has shared this morning with us all. And the truth of this passage is that Levi pictures so well for us what each of us is like before God. Now, of course, there are many ways we're not like him. We're probably not tax collectors this morning. We probably don't live our lives revolving around cheating others and cashing in on their misfortune. But the truth is, like Levi, each of us is a traitor before God. Because although we live in his world and we enjoy his gifts, we've turned and rebelled against him. Whilst we enjoy our lives, we enjoy our health and all the good things that this world offers, Instead of centering our lives on the one who gave us everything, we've centered our lives on ourselves. And we live like God's not even there. And as we try to cheat God like this and live for ourselves, our lives show just how far we are from Him. We just need to look back at the past week. Just think over the last 24 hours. I know this is true of me. We see it in our actions, the way we've hurt people, the things we said that we wish we could take back, the things we've done that we would want no one ever to know. And we see it in our hearts, the pride, the selfishness, the anger, the greed that are deep down inside but will just come out in an instant. And the thoughts we've had that if were public would see a shame just like Levi. You see, no matter how we look on the surface, deep down inside, we're just the same as Levi. Like him, we've turned from God, we've settled in sin, and we are bad people. But just as Jesus was good news to Levi, he's good news to us. Because although he sees our sin, he doesn't despise us. Although he knows our rebellion better than we know it ourselves, he doesn't write us off and condemn us as lost. No, as he says to Levi, in love Jesus speaks to us and says, follow me. Come, be my disciple. And perhaps this morning, you're thinking there's no way Jesus would have you as his follower. If he really knew who you were, he'd want nothing to do with you. If he really knew the things that you'd done, there's no way he'd love you. Well, doesn't Levi show us that's just not true? Because like Levi, when Jesus calls us to follow him, there's nothing he requires from us. He doesn't say, go away and clean up your life, and then you can follow me. He doesn't say, go to church, try harder, and then we'll see if you make the grade. No, like Levi, Jesus says, come as you are and follow me. Bring your sin, bring your shame, bring the mess, because I can deal with it. But come as you are and follow me. And this is why Jesus is such good news to those who know they're bad. Because as Naomi shared with us, the only condition Jesus has of anyone is the fact that they admit they're bad. That they're honest about their sin, that they hold their hands up and own the fact that they failed. And then come with empty hands for him to grace, for him for grace, and ask to be forgiven. Because as the friend of sinners, as the forgiver of sins, Jesus will never turn anyone away who comes to him like that. Because Jesus is good news to those who know they're bad. But secondly, Jesus is bad news to those who think they're good. Bad news to those who think they're good. And in verse 15, the scene changes. Mark takes us from the lake inside into Levi's home. And Jesus and his disciples are having dinner with Levi. And Levi's invited his friends along too. Let's read verse 15. Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. You see, the guests at Levi's house are people just like him. Tax collectors, just as bad. And those labelled sinners who openly lived a life that rejected God. The kind of people that were pushed out of life in Jewish society, but moral outcasts who came to Jesus and were welcomed. But as this meal is taking place, there are other people present. And we see that they're not at the table eating. They're standing back at a distance watching. Look at verse 16. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? The Pharisees were there. Now, I don't know if you know much about the Pharisees, but in Mark, they keep turning up. And when they do, they're always in conflict with Jesus. They begin with questioning, they begin with arguing, but very quickly they move to plotting towards killing Jesus. And ultimately they succeed as he's handed over to the Romans and crucified. And so in Mark, when they turn up, you feel like they're the bad guys. But if you lived in Jesus' day, you would have looked up to the Pharisees. They were the morally upright people, the pillars of society. They're the ones who not only knew the Jewish law inside out, but kept it to the letter. They were the good guys. Just as everyone agreed that tax collectors were bad, they agreed that Pharisees were good. If anyone was good enough for God, it had to be them. And the Pharisees were proud of this, and so they kept clear of anyone who would threaten their reputation. And so they're appalled when they see Jesus, a religious teacher, allowing sinners to crowd around him and eat with him. And so verse 16, they ask his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Or as another translation captures their tone, why does he eat with such scum? You see, instead of celebrating that people like Levi have found forgiveness with Jesus, the Pharisees are outraged. And they stand back disgusted. And when Jesus hears their question, in verse 17, he replies with a proverb. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I can see a few doctors here this morning, and I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that on your next shift at the QMC, or Monday morning in the surgery, your job is not going to be to try and convince healthy people to come into hospital. You're not going to have to try to give medicine to people who are perfectly healthy or go out and do surgery on people who have nothing wrong with them at all. You'll get you in trouble. Your job is to treat the people who come to you. And again, you don't need me to tell you. To help ill people get better. But that's what Jesus is saying. As he continues, he explains that in the same way, he is a doctor to the sick. The second half of verse 17, he says this, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And as a doctor, Jesus explains that the sickness he has come to treat, it's not a physical sickness, it's a spiritual sickness. He's come to call those sick with sin in order to heal them of their sin. And that is exactly what is going on at Levi's house. As Levi and his friends gather around Jesus, they do so because they know they're sick. They know they need to see the doctor, and so they come to Jesus for help. But as the Pharisees stand back appalled, they do so because they think they're well, trusting in their own goodness. They think they're good enough for God, and they see no need for Jesus. And so when they see him handing out forgiveness for free to sinful people, they just cannot accept it. As they watch Jesus giving grace so cheaply to scum like Levi, they hate it. You see, the Pharisees, they want a teacher who boosts their religious ego. A Jesus who pats them on the back for doing well and commends them for their hard work for God. And when Jesus shows them, despite everything they've done for God, they're still sick and they still need help, they'd rather stubbornly cling to their own self-righteousness and judge him than to come and receive treatment alongside scum like Levi. You see, to the Pharisees who thought they were good, Jesus is bad news. And today, if we make the same mistake as them, Jesus will be bad news to us. You see, like the Pharisees, it's so easy to think that faith with God is something that we can earn. It's so easy and so tempting to believe that if we try hard enough, we can hit the mark. But like the Pharisees, each of us has our way of trying to make ourselves good, trying to make ourselves feel right. Now, perhaps for some of us, it's religion. You've always been to church. Faithfully, week by week, you turn up and sing the songs and hear the sermons. You've given your time, your energy, perhaps even your money generously to God, and you feel that he must be impressed with you. There must be favour in that. Or perhaps for you, it's the things you do. You're not religious. You don't go to church, but you're still a good person. You try to help people. You give to charity, contribute to the community. And yes, like everyone, you know you're not perfect. But you're not that bad. In fact, better than most people. Well, whatever it is, whether it's religion or good deeds or something else entirely, each of us has our way of trying to be good, trying to make ourselves right. And this is why Jesus is such bad news to those who think they're good. Because he tells us our way won't work. That we've got a problem that good deeds can't heal. That as good as we can be, we cannot be good enough for God. And that we need to see the doctor. In my final year at university, I was training with the rowing team for a competition. And one day as I was pushing myself on the rowing machine, I suddenly felt a pain in my lower back. And I thought nothing of it at the time. I thought I'd just pulled a muscle. And so I rested and went back the next day. But over the next couple of days, the pain got worse. And I found myself getting shorter of breath. And deep down, I knew something was wrong. But I wanted to compete. And so I told myself I was fine and kept on training. But it wasn't until after a few days later, groaning and out of breath, I arrived at a lecture and my friends forced me to go to the hospital. It wasn't until then that I found out after an x-ray that I punctured my lung. And as the doctor explained what had happened, I realised that all the evidence had been there, but I hadn't wanted to admit the problem. And so I hadn't come for help. Now, in the same way, we're in danger of making the same mistake about our hearts. You see, as we see the sin in our lives, we can try and cover it over or push it aside or pretend it's not there. But the reality is that all we can do is just cover over the cracks. To try to pretend that our hearts are good when we know that they're bad. And that we need someone to heal them. And until we allow Jesus to show us this, we will never come to him for help. We'll never go to the doctor to be treated. And so this morning, Jesus calls us to let go of all the ways that we've tried to make ourselves good and instead to come to him for help. Because he promises that if we come to him as sinners and open our hearts to him, he will freely forgive us without asking anything in return. But perhaps as you hear Jesus' invitation, free forgiveness just sounds too easy. Like if Jesus can welcome us so unconditionally, his grace must be really cheap. Well, as we read on in Mark, we see that Jesus' forgiveness was anything but cheap. Anything but cheap. Because God takes sin so seriously. He won't just sweep it under the carpet and pretend it's not there. Sin must be punished. A price must be paid. And in just a few pages in Mark, he will show us how far Jesus was prepared to go in order to deal with our sin. As he takes us to the cross and shows Jesus dying there for us. Because the price of our forgiveness was the life of the perfect Son of God. What it cost for sinners like us to come to Jesus and to know his grace was that he would die for us. You see, the only cure for us came through him being infected with our sin. The only way our sinful hearts could be healed was for the doctor to die for us. And willingly, he laid down his life for us. He paid in full so that he could offer forgiveness for free. And he rose again, guaranteeing that there is nothing that God requires of us. You see, that's why Levi can follow Jesus. That's why Naomi can follow Jesus. That's why Jesus invites each of us to come as we are to follow him. And so this morning, as you see what Jesus has done for you, is it good news or is it bad news? As he shows you your need to be forgiven, Will you admit that you're sick? As he invites you as a sinner to come to him for help, will you come to be cured? Like Levi, he calls each of us to follow him. Will we come as we are to receive the grace that he's won for us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing grace. Thank you that Jesus would lay down his life for us. He would pay so we might not have to pay. He would give his life that our life could be saved. Thank you so much that he holds out this as a gift, having done everything that's required. And I pray this morning that whether this is new news or old news, it would be good news to us. And that we would praise him again for the kindness he's shown us. I pray, Father, that we would come to him and give our lives to him and follow him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to close our time together by singing. We're going to stand and sing a wonderful song that celebrates this amazing grace. So let's stand together.